One Sunday, I need to remember to have you guys all turn around and watch as they run out of here so excited to not have to listen to me, I think. And not have to have mom and dad telling them, hey, shh, sit still. I heard about two guys that were kind of comparing what they had gotten their wives for Christmas. And the one guy was pretty proud. He told his friend he'd bought his wife a brand new diamond ring, 2 carats. He's like, wow, that's amazing. But I thought your wife wanted one of those new sporty Jeeps. And he said, where am I going to find a fake Jeep? I've never done that. Anybody remember flash mobs? This is kind of an older trend. Maybe it still happens, I don't know. But if you don't know what a flash mob is, a flash mob, it's something that's planned. It might consist of just a few dozen people, or just could be hundreds of people. But it's something predetermined, something planned. They're going to sing a song or do a dance in a public setting just to surprise people, to maybe bring some joy, just some sort of element of happiness. And I found a YouTube clip a few years ago. It's in a shopping mall in a food court during Christmas, and a flash mob breaks into song. I want you to watch it. Watched that video and it got me thinking, we need a little bit more of that this Christmas season. To find some joy in Christmas, maybe to have your breath taken away, maybe to be surprised. Unfortunately, December 1st comes around and we really start thinking about Christmas and we fall into a routine and we forget to have our breath taken away with what God had done by sending His Son Jesus the way that He did. This morning we're going to look at two words. Two words, they're spelled almost identically, but they have two very different definitions. The words are wander and wonder. Wander is defined like this: to walk around in an aimless way, to move without purpose or direction. Wives, you're probably thinking about your husbands with that. They're just kind of meander around life. They're just not accomplishing anything. We do, don't we, guys? We get some things done. We know what we're doing. But sometimes, if you think about it in life, we can find ourselves, we kind of just wander. We kind of wander through life aimlessly, seeking purpose and fulfillment. But we're just wandering. Not much is getting accomplished. But then the word wonder is defined like this: to marvel or be amazed by something beautiful, unexpected, unfamiliar, or inexplicable. And I think we live in a world without enough wonder. We have lots of wandering happening, but is there much wonder? And when you think about Christmas, do we really wonder when it comes to our Savior's birth? Is our breath taken away by it, or is it just a mundane yearly thing? It shows up on the calendar every year. You know, December 25th, it's Christmas. It doesn't change. It happens every year. We drag out the Christmas decorations. We put up the tree. You go buy the presents. You sing some Christmas carols. You sing some songs here at church about Christmas. And it's the same thing, in a way, year after year. And has it lost its meaning to us? Do we just kind of wander through this portion of the year, or are we left in wonder of what God has done? Our wandering can be resolved by having more wonder this Christmas. And this morning we're going to study Luke chapter 2 about the birth of Jesus. If you have your Bibles, you can open up there in Luke chapter 2. We're going to see the wonder that Christmas can bring by that baby that was born in Bethlehem. Right in the midst of our wandering, a Savior's been born. And we wander through life thinking we'll find fulfillment. We wander from one job to another. Well, this one will be better. Well, this one will be better. We wander from relationship to relationship looking for fulfillment. Got my water boy going on there for a second. And what we lack to realize is that as we wander, what we're actually seeking is wonder. The wonder that comes when we celebrate Christmas and the birth of Jesus changes everything. Augustine is quoted as saying, "God, our hearts are restless until I find rest in Thee." What we seek after isn't a relationship, it's not a thing, but it's a Savior. It's Jesus, that baby that was born. What we celebrate this Christmas can fill us with wonder and change things for us. In Luke chapter 2, Jesus is born. The angels come and make that great announcement, not to kings or queens, not to the religious leaders, not to the high and mighty, not to the rich, but to lowly shepherds living out in their field watching their flocks at night. The greatest announcement that's ever been made on this earth that a Savior has been born is made to these shepherds. And they're left in wonder. And these years later, I think we've had a numbing of the soul to the fact of what God has done for us. We celebrate it year after year after year, and it has become a routine. It needs a freshness in our life so that we can be left in wonder, not just wandering through this time of the year. So I want to identify three enemies of wonder. Three things that we have to fight through so that we can be left in wonder. And experience the Christmas how God had intended it to be. So here's enemy number one, familiarity. You've been told the story. You've read the story. You remember the story. You've then yourself told your children and your grandkids and your great-grandkids. You've read them the story. Maybe one time in your life when you're a child, you even got to act out the story. We hear it each and every year. We become extremely familiar to the Christmas story that I think it's lost its flavor. And we just kind of wander through this part of the year rather than wonder, being left in awe of what it is that God has done. I got to say, I really don't look forward to preaching Christmas sermons. I know that sounds bad for your preacher to say. Hope that's not the only thing you remember from this sermon. I've probably preached roughly 25 Christmas sermons in my life. And I know you know the story. And so I'm trying to figure out how it is I can maybe rework this and make it sound a little different, but it's still the story, right? I try to come from this angle and that angle. You know, this is what the donkey thought, you know. And it gets tough. It gets hard. Why? Because it's so familiar. And we find ourselves this time of the year, we're rushing through things, we're so busy to get one thing to the next, and it becomes so familiar to us that we're not left in wonder anymore. It's true about this in a lot of things where we become very familiar and we take things for granted. I think about flying on an airplane. You get in a metal tube. It climbs to 30,000 feet in the air, traveling 500 miles an hour. That's kind of a wild concept to really wrap your mind around. And I don't know that many of us in this room just fly all the time, but there are people who fly a lot. And it's so aggravating to me whenever I get on an airplane that there's some business guy sits down in a window seat. He gets all relaxed, the plane takes off, He puts in his headphones, shuts the window, lays back and sleeps for 4 hours. And I'm on the outside aisle, and I just want to look out the window. But he's so familiar to it that it means nothing. But to me, it's so exciting. And for Christmas, it's lost its excitement. It becomes very familiar to us, and we're not left in wonder any longer. And when we find ourselves in that place, that's not good. You've probably heard the saying, familiarity breeds contempt. Well, I think familiarity can also breed indifference. It can leave us just really not caring. It doesn't really move us much anymore. I've done it so many times. I've celebrated Christmas so many different ways. And now it's almost become just another day to get through. And we're not left in wonder. Michael Yaconelli, a Christian author, wrote this: "The greatest enemy of Christianity may be people who say they believe in Jesus, but who are no longer astonished and amazed at what Jesus has done for them." We as Christians like to identify the enemy of Christianity as other religions, or those who don't practice any religion or believe in God, or it's people in the government. But I think too often it's people who claim Christ, but it doesn't move them any longer. Very blasé in their faith. And that can be extremely dangerous, because that doesn't represent Jesus. And that's what we're called to do, is to be ambassadors of Christ. We represent Jesus as we walk this earth. And we have to be left in wonder of what God has done. And we need to pray that God will do for us what he did for those shepherds in that field. It's pretty interesting what God had done there. Let's go back in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." It's interesting here that he points out that they were not just hanging out in the field and going to go home after their shift was over, but these shepherds were living. They were living in the fields, isolated from everyone else. And it says that they were terrified. Another way to define this word in that ancient language in the first century is that they were not just terrified, they were left in wonder. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them." That word "amazed," guess what it can also mean? They were left in wonder. "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." The announcements made to these shepherds. These guys were professional wanderers. That's what they did for a career. And now that this news is given to them, they're left in wonder about what had been done. Being a shepherd wasn't an exciting job. They were very familiar with how every day went. I'm sure it was very monotonous and very boring. When you go to the zoo, you don't walk in and look for the signs that say that the sheep are this direction. You don't go to the zoo to see the sheep, right? Where's the sheep? I want to go see the sheep. Where are the sheep? No, you go to the zoo to see the lions and the tigers and the bears and the snakes, right? If you have a friend that likes to go bird watching, one day they say, "You know, let's not go bird watching, let's go sheep watching." It's time to get a different friend. I mean, people just don't go, they don't go watch sheep. And so right in the midst of their familiar day, they are given this news that changes their lives. And they're left, as the Bible says, in wonder. In Luke 2:15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They now have a sense of purpose. They're not just wandering shepherds anymore, but they're left in wonder with what God has done. And where do we find ourselves this Christmas season? Is it just so familiar that we just wander through it? Or are we left, our breath is taken, we're left in wonder of what God has done for us? It's interesting that the angel says, this child has been born for you. He's not just been born, but there's a purpose behind it. He's been born for you, for me, for all of us. And that should leave us in wonder of our God. It says that they went to go see this thing that had happened. And that word to see means to examine closely. They were going with a purpose to see what God had done. And when they went to see this baby, Jesus, they looked intently. They looked closely. And so this Christmas season, we need to do the same. We don't just view this as another holiday to get through, but we examine it closely and we find ourselves in wonder. Then enemy number two is discouragement. This time of the year, it's the time of the year where we get through Christmas and what happens next. It's the beginning of a new year. And we start to think, we reflect on the past year. And we think about the things that we wish hadn't happened. We ponder the things that we hope to change. We look back on some of the decisions we made and kick ourselves for making those decisions. And that can really cause discouragement to really fester and to grow. And we grow disappointed with ourselves. And discouragement is an enemy to us really being in wonder of what God has done this Christmas season. When our heart is filled with bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness of the past, it's hard for us to find ourselves in a position of really being grateful this Christmas season for what God has done. The shepherds were probably pretty discouraged people. The shepherds, they stayed in the fields with their flocks. They were disassociated to other people. They were deemed unclean. They were not able to go to the temple to offer sacrifices to God and to worship God there. They weren't allowed. The shepherds lived a lowly, miserable life tending their sheep. It was the worst career that you could have. If they came to town, they didn't walk around saying, "Hey, I'm a shepherd." They probably kept a pretty low profile. It's interesting, in the business world, companies are changing the names of jobs to make them sound more enticing. And so I found a couple. I just thought these were comical. A job posting for a dishwasher. It's no longer a dishwasher, but a cleansing operator. What do you do at the restaurant? I'm the cleansing operator. A window cleaner. A window cleaner is no longer called a window cleaner, but a vision clearance engineer. That sounds pretty good. Must have took a big education to get that degree, to find that job. No, I'm sure if they were around people who weren't shepherds, it was tipped off by the way they smelled and the discouragement that they wore on their faces. Most shepherds were orphans. They had no family to back them up or guide them in a direction, and they found themselves in this very discouraging profession. And then all of a sudden, in their ordinary day, their discouragement is turned to joy. So one way for you and I to experience wonder this Christmas is to take our focus off of ourselves, that we would no longer be the center of what's going on, and that we would make Jesus the center of our world. And not just this Christmas season, but throughout the year. One way for us to step away from discouragement is to make it all about Jesus. And if you feel discouraged, remember what the angel said, that there is news of great joy, for a Savior has been born to you. A third enemy is cynicism. There's a difference between being a skeptic and being a cynic. A skeptic challenges assumptions, tries to seek the truth, where a cynic kind of rolls their eyes, feels intellectually superior, and their heart is more or less petrified. And it's really easy in this life, as we go through life, the different circumstances we face, to grow very cynical and bitter. And when cynicism grows in our hearts, it's really hard for us to look at the Christmas season and see it as anything else. And we're not left with wonder of what God has done. As a minister, I've had a front row seat to this. I've seen people who say, boy, I'm going to start coming to church. Boy, I want to become a Christian. I want to follow Jesus. I want to read my Bible. And they're a very skeptical, cynical person. I can see it in them. And guess what? I almost kind of start being that way towards them. I'm sure. We'll just see about that. And I'm being cynical towards them. And I've seen transformations happen in people's lives, and it's happened for me towards them. Because when you let Jesus in, the cynicism goes out. And you see transformation in people's lives. And you go back to this first century, these shepherds, I'm sure they were cynical when it came to the fact that God was going to send a Messiah. They had waited a long time. These shepherds, they knew the Old Testament. They understood what God was going to do, but so much time had gone by. And I'm sure it wasn't just them, that it was other Jews in the first century were very cynical towards the fact, yeah, sure, God's going to say, we've been waiting forever. We don't like to wait. I'm sure they didn't like to wait. Jeremiah and Isaiah prophesied the coming of Messiah 700 years before Jesus came. I'm sure some cynicism had grown in the hearts of some of the people. But when those angels made that announcement, any bit of cynicism that had grown in those shepherds' hearts, it went away because a Savior was born. It made a world of difference. As a group, we do well celebrating Christmas. We worship together, we sing Christmas songs. You gather with family and friends and you celebrate Christmas. We do that well as a collection of people. But what about celebrating Christmas personally? That's what these shepherds were able to do. They came to Jesus and they were able to have that personal relationship with just a baby, but knowing they were gazing upon God in the flesh. And for you and I, we need to celebrate this Christmas, not only as a collective group, but have that personal connection and being in wonder of what God has done for you personally. Jesus' birth, it's not just a story. It's not just a story, and I think that's how we view it too often. It's a story, but it happened. And it's a story that gives hope, it gives life, and it gives grace. As we close the sermon this morning, I want to help you to make this personal. I just want you to close your eyes. Maybe just look down. Just make yourself comfortable. I want to imagine for a moment that we're in Bethlehem. You see the inn where there was no room, and you walk past. They say he's in the stable, which is a cold, dark, hollowed-out portion. Looks more like a cave than anything. You walk inside, and you smell what you'd smell in a stable. You smell the animals. Then you hear some familiar noises. You hear a donkey and a goat, a sheep, a cow, and then you hear a baby. You step closer, and you see Joseph, and you see Mary, and you see Jesus, an infant, a baby, just been born, spending his first night in a barn, laying in an animal trough. Joseph, a strong man, used to using his hands to cut down his own trees as he's a carpenter. He steps over and gently picks up Jesus and takes him over to Mary and lays Jesus down beside her. And you look at Mary. She just looks so young. She's just a teenager. She's exhausted, but there's a smile on her face. As she gazes upon Jesus, she ponders and treasures this in her heart, understanding what God has done through her. And then you step closer and you look at Jesus. Joseph gives you a little hand sanitizer. You look at Jesus' brow, you touch his forehead, and you realize that a crown of thorns is going to be shoved down on that forehead, piercing his skin. You look upon those little cheeks, and you realize that a Roman soldier is going to spit upon those cheeks. You look at those shoulders, those little shoulders. You know that a cross will be bared on those shoulders, bearing all the sins of humanity. And then you look at his little hands, you look at his little feet, and you remember that those hands and those feet will be nailed to that cross. And you remember those hands. You remember the stories, how those hands healed the leper, healed the blind, made the lame to walk. And you remember that he did this all for me. God, as we approach Christmas this year, I pray that we would see in a different way, that we would not be wandering through this part of our life, but we would be left in wonder. Wonder of what you have done for us, that you gave your one and only Son. That, Father, we'd be left in wonder, realizing that Jesus left heaven and came to this earth. He shared the same struggles we do. He lived a perfect life, and he gave that life up for us. And he took upon himself all the sins of the world. God, would that just leave us in wonder? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to take time this morning to sing a song to God, giving you the opportunity to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't made that decision, you can be left in wonder this morning. You can be left in wonder of what God has done personally for you. So we welcome you this morning.